Christ Community Church. Hey, happy birthday, Christ Community Church. We'll do happy birthday once the band gets acclimated. But look, visitors, friends, guests, family, we're just glad to be here. We're here about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's faithful to us.
We're 18 years old. If you ever wondered what was the matter with that church, it's because we've been a teenager now for a while. You know, teenagers ain't ever in the right mind. Maybe that's the same with churches too. We're just a little weird. Sing our song. Oh, no, I'm not singing that song. She's trying to get me to sing an Alice Cooper song right here in church. That's just how that is. I'm 18 and I'm not going to sing anymore. Later on, I'll sing happy birthday. But let me pray for us. And y'all just come and look, focus on the Lord. Just let whatever you brought in, if you got any kind of burden on you, just shake it off and just be here. Be happy in the Lord. It's a good day today. Good days ought not be taken for granted. Amen. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity we have to come together to worship you. Help us to put our focus, our mind, our heart on you as we lift up our words, as we hear your word. Help us to think, Lord, how can I glorify you? Thank you for creating me, for saving me, for sustaining my life, that my heart's beating, my brain's waving, my lungs are pumping. And Lord, we love you and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to have some help this morning on this first song. You youngins, come on up.
Thank you. Are the voice in the desert.
Christ Community Church has turned 18 years old, and I praise God for His faithfulness. But it's times like these to remember some of the things that still aren't there. Like, for instance, in 18 years, we have still not learned how to clap. It's kind of an amazing thing, but I don't know if you all saw that, but I was trying, you know, but we were going, you know, like... And now my daughter up there, the one that's going, see, if we could clap like her, we'd be all right. But that was just one of those things where I was noticing. I'm like, you know, Lord tarries. He gives us another 18 years. We ought to make it a determined effort to say, you know, let's figure out how to do this. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how we have to do. We have to do like 1, 2, 3, clap. Ready? Let's try. 1, 2, 3, clap. 1, 2, 3, clap. Hey, there's hope for us. You know what I'm saying? There's some hope for us. We'll get there one of these days. All right. Well, we're going to keep on worshiping, even if we can't clap. Clap with it says make a cheerful noise on the Lord. Make a cheerful clap, even if it's not in time. It'll be all right.
Eddie and Amy, years ago, I used to, when I was up here playing, I'd watch Ben. And he'd get into that song, sir, get clapping, but he's clapping off me. I'd get to watching it. How he was getting into it, and then I'd get to following him. Get me all on this. I had learned to listen to those folks up here. Don't pay attention to the clapping out there. All right, it's time for old hymns. I won't play you for the hot flower.
Jesus, receiving the gift of eternal life and being frowny faced about it all the time. Right? Right. And so what we're going to do is we're going to sing happy birthday. Okay? Are you all ready? All right. Follow them.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
are my strength. I don't care what you're going through out there.
Jesus is the strength that we need. All you got to do is call on him. Mean business when you come to him. Ask him to help you. I've been there and done that, and he definitely will.
It's been a good morning so far. I want to draw your attention to your bulletin, your handout. There's three words at the top of it. Some of y'all's words say forgiven, for real, and forever. However, some of your handouts say forgiven, for real, and forever. And for those who have the ones that say forgiven, that was a code, and you've been selected for a very special treatment. A treatment that involves overlooking the frailties and the lack of spell check when you use all caps on the handout. So, anyway, we got a real simple message today on this 18th birthday of ours. And it's just those three words about being forgiven, about it being for real, and it lasting forever. So let's look at that. And I just want to paint a picture for you from the scripture. A lot of times I think we get talking about things and it sounds like that's the good things that the church want to promote. The church wants to promote those things. Pastors and preachers and Christians, they want to say these things. But I'll tell you why. Because it's grounded in the Word of God. You know, we don't make these things up. And I just want you to hear how thankful I am that there was no liquid in that cup I just knocked over. But I just want you to hear from God's Word how our forgiveness is based not in ourselves, not in our abilities, not in our works, but in the person of God. That this is His plan. And that's a for real plan, and it's a forever plan. So let me read this first passage. You just have a list of scriptures, but I'm just going to read through them and talk about them. Psalm 103, verses 11 through 14. This is what they say. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank You for loving us. Thank You for the opportunity again that we have to gather together. Father, continue to build Christ Community Church on the bedrock of Your Word, of the gospel message, of the forgiveness that You bring through Christ, and the fact that as we receive the gift that You've given, that we can live rejoicing all the day. Not avoiding trouble, not ignoring trouble, but realizing that greater is He who's in us than he who's in the world, that great is our reward, that great is Your love, and that we can rejoice because You have done it. You finished it. Lord, we love You. We give You all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. He says, like that song we just sang, Your love goes all the way up to the heavens. Your faithfulness, Your mercy, it's just bigger than we can imagine. And in this passage, in verse 12, He gives us part of this image. He says, You remove our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. Y'all know how far that is? How far do you got to go east before you're going west? It'll never happen, will it? East and west are diametrically opposed. I always like to think about this geographically. If I could get into some kind of vessel, some kind of flying boat, that's just kind of vessels I think of in my brain. If I'm in a flying boat and I just started heading north, eventually I would cross over the Arctic and I would start heading south eventually, coming down the other side of this world. But if I got in that same boat and I started heading east, I'm never going to get to where east and west are just opposed. They're just so far apart. God says, when I remove your sins, they'll never see each other again. When I take care of these things, you won't know about it. They won't know about it. That's how good a job I'm going to do. I'm going to remove them. I'm going to take them away. Of course, this comes out in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. When we talk about forgiveness, we talk about God's plan. He removes our sin. Now, there's a particular type of sin He mentions here. And forewarning, for those who don't know me, if that red wasp comes by me, I'm going to say some religious words you may have never heard before in church. Something's flying by me right now. Just pray. because I'm a big guy who gets freaked out by little red wasps. So just carry on. If I have to leave, somebody carry on in my place. The sermon must go on. He says he removes our transgressions. Transgressions is a particular kind of sin. It means this. You hear the word trans in there, the movement. It means to move off the path that you know is right. To move away from the things that you know, the good things, the things that maybe were installed in you early on, the things that those people who loved you prayed for you, that you would catch a hold of those things. But somewhere in your life, you moved off the road you knew you were supposed to be on. You transgressed. You moved off. Can those things be forgiven? Can you be forgiven if you move off the right way? Yes, you can. Because he says, I'll remove those transgressions as far as the east is from the west. He knows how to do it. He knows how to forgive us. In the book of Isaiah, in chapter 38, in verse 17, right to the end of the verse, he says, you have lovingly delivered my soul from the pit of corruption, for you have cast all my sins behind your back. I want you to think about this picture. He says, I was in a pit of utter corruption. I was in a place where I was being ruined, where I was experiencing decay. That's the idea of corruption. I was coming apart. You lovingly delivered me, pulled me out of that pit. And when you could have judged me and pointed out every little thing wrong with me, you took my sin and you put it behind your back. But what's awesome about this and the rest of the passages that speak on forgiveness, he puts a word in there right before sins. All my sins. All of them. The perversions, the betrayals, the transgressions, the inconsistencies, the meanness, the hatred, the greediness, the lust, the pride, the lies. You took all my sin. And this imagery is just wonderful. You cast them behind you. In other words, you discarded them. You took them all. You looked at them and you discarded them. Walked right on by. You just kept on trucking. When we think about the forgiveness of God, look, he took your sins, my sins, and he put it behind him. What do you think you and I should do with our sins once we've come to Christ? What do you think we should do if God's put them behind him? You think we ought to keep them out here? Even the sins in our culture. Let me tell you something. To speak on, to harp on, to focus on the sins of our culture does not make those things go away. It magnifies them. We need to take this lesson and say, oh my goodness, the holy God Almighty looked onto our sins and he put them behind his back. Maybe we ought to do the same. Maybe when somebody sins against us, instead of reminding them, you remember 20 years ago when you said I was a loser? I'll be honest with you. I was tempted to say something like that in this service today. It's tempting to say something about the naysayers who were around when this church started up 18 years ago. Tempting to do that. But I won't. If we could put it behind us, Christ before us, the world behind us, our sin behind us, and say, Lord, wow, thank you for what you've done. You've cast our sin behind us, behind him. Oh, my goodness. Micah chapter 7. In Micah chapter 7, we get another imagery, another picture of God casting our sin away. This time, it doesn't say he cast it behind him. Listen to this. Chapter 7, verse 19. He will again have compassion on us, and he will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will have compassion on us. I love this. You will subdue our iniquities. Iniquities are means twisted perversions, adulterations of things that are supposed to be good and holy, and where we've twisted. He says, I know how to subdue those things. You ever play that game, Mercy, when you were a kid? You probably don't now. You're like, I play it all the time. Me and my husband come and be like, Rawr! You know that game where you lock hands and you like try to make somebody say mercy or say uncle or do, you know, you put them in submission. Y'all didn't do that? There is a game called Mercy, and then, no. God says in His Word, I know how to grab your iniquity, the perverted, twisted, crooked, betraying, adulterous things you've done, and I know how to submit them to my will, my way. I know how to subdue those things. I know how to get rid of them, stomp them, submit them. Anybody watch that? I almost said UMC. That's not it, though, is it? Ultimate Fighting Championship, the UFC. Yeah, thank you. I don't watch that because I'm too pure of eye. But there's wrestling there, man. That's good stuff. But they'll do submission holds. They'll submit somebody. They'll choke them out. They'll twist their arm until they either got to give up or lose their arm. You know, and I think about God looking at us and us thinking, how can I be forgiven? How can I be trusted? How can I be renewed? How can I ever been given a chance by God again? God, what are you going to do with all these failings and faults and betrayals that I have? And God says, watch this. And He grabs them by the arm and He puts them in the arm. And they're like, I quit. I give up. He knows how to subdue our iniquity. And then it says He casts our very worst sins into the sea. No. He says, I cast 90% of all the sins you've committed into the depths of the sea. No. He said, I cast all. He cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. The idea of the depths of the sea. You know, we, as people, we take, and this is probably a really bad habit, but you know, we've done this. We've taken the worst kind of like waste product and we throw them into the sea. Down into the deep trenches of the ocean. Because at one time we thought, you know, that would be okay. But the point is this. It's like putting it farther away than we could ever imagine. In a place of no return. Like the sea of forgetfulness. It's like God says, look, I've dealt with it. I've subdued it. I've submitted it. And now I've thrown it into the sea. You'll never see him again. Matter of fact, this is like when the people of Israel were coming out of Egypt. And the Egyptian soldiers were following them. They're hot on their tail. And the Egyptians got through the miracle work of God. And then he says, look on behind you. And they look, the sea collapsed in. The Egyptian soldiers were trapped in the sea. And God said this, you will never see them again forever. Christian people, if you've experienced the grace of God and the forgiveness of God, your sins are like those soldiers. You'll never see them again forever. Gone in the depths of the sea. That's what God does with them. We're going to jump to the New Testament now. When we look at this idea of forgiveness. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14 say this. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When we think about our forgiveness, again, we heard that word in there. I hope you heard it again. Having forgiven all your trespasses. Now, we're familiar with the idea of trespasses, right? We go around and see it posted all the time. No trespassing. What does that mean? I mean, it's real. It's like public service announcement. You need to know what that means. It's almost hunting season. If you don't know what that means, you could end up in a world of hurt, right? It means don't come here. Don't cross this line. Don't enter these woods. Don't step over this line. So what happens when we do step over the line? Think about the first sin of all. You can eat of every tree in the garden. All of them had good food on them. All of them looked good. It says that in Genesis chapter 2. But then they saw the one, and God said, but of the tree in the midst of the garden, you shall not eat. So there was a line, a little boundary around that tree. And what did our ancestors do? I'm going to respect that boundary because the Lord put it up there. And even though that thing could make me wise, I'm going to listen to the Lord and not trespass and get nothing off that tree. That's the way Adam talked. And Eve was like, okay, honey, I think that's a good idea. Let's not eat nothing off that tree. And all of a sudden the serpent said, really? You don't want to eat nothing off that tree? Adam's like, that's right. I said we ain't going to eat nothing. Well, honey, let's listen to what he has to say. I mean, it ain't just nothing. We're just going to listen. Let's just listen. He said in 90 minutes we can walk out of here and get our tickets to Outback. Come on, just listen. We don't got to buy a timeshare. Just listen. I'm telling you, you eat that, you're going to be like God. You're going to be all fired up inside. You're going to know things. You're going to know it. That sounds good. It is a pretty tree. Okay. Happy wife, happy life. They step across that line. Come. Oh. Woo. Here you go. Oh. That's mighty fine. Uh-oh. You feel a draft? Anyway. Something done just happened up in here. Satan's just laughing. That's how he laughs. It's a trespass. Don't do this. But I did it. Don't go there. I went there. All those, he says, he forgives us. From the very first to the very last, all means all. He forgave us all our trespasses. And he says it, not just removing them, not just casting them behind them, not just casting them into the depths of the sea this time. He says, they were nailed to the cross. They were paid in full. They were penalized to the highest degree of the law. They were paid for so that you and I could be forgiven. Can you imagine trying to explain to God you wanting to unnail something from the cross because you just feel guilty about it? I'm just feeling guilty about this and I'd like to unnail it from the cross so that I might wear it around a little bit and boohoo and cry. I think he's going to say, no, honey. It's nailed to the cross. Leave it alone. Walk on. It's paid for. Don't you come back here. That's God's business. He nailed it to the cross that we might be forgiven forever. And it's a triumphant thing. Verse 15 says, having disarmed the spiritual powers and principalities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Y'all, all those are a picture of our forgiveness. That's God forgives. Now I want to see how it's just for real. There's a passage here we're going to look at, 1 Corinthians 15, just verse 3 and 4. It's an explanation of the gospel. Just Paul explaining the gospel that he received. This is what he says. I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. What God gave me a little insight into is such a beautiful gift, that buried, that tomb was sort of like a car wash. Christ went in like a dirty, filthy car. He died for our sins. The Bible says God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us. He goes in a sinner condemned to death because of our sin. He goes into that tomb buried dead. But he comes out the other side. Amen. On the third day, it says he rose again. And the sin had been completely done away with. He wasn't a dirty car anymore. He wasn't overburdened with all our sin. He wasn't carrying it still in a bag. He still wasn't all like, oh, I got the sin of the world on my shoulders. He was brand spanking new. The sin had been paid for. And although Christ came out of the tomb, I'm convinced of this, the tomb is not empty. What's in there? Our sin got stuck in there. It was condemned, it was judged, it was left, but not Christ. He came out alive. When I say our forgiveness is for real, what I want you to see is that there was literally a historical movement from Good Friday to Resurrection Sunday that dealt with our sin for real. He went in the grave with it on Friday. He came out of the grave without it on Sunday, and because of that, we are really, really forgiven. It's because of what he did. That's an awesome thing. Y'all, the gospel is that message that says you really have been forgiven. He really did it. He took it in there, and he come back without it. It didn't say 3 days later he was raised from the dead. He rose again the third day with our sin, according to the scripture. There's no mention of our sin and the resurrection. Christ wasn't overburdened with our sin. When Christ returns, he's not going to be burdened with our sin. He dealt with our sin. He left it in the tomb. He rose again to new life. That's a model we should follow also. We say, you know what? I'm really, really forgiven. Truly forgiven. Wonderfully forgiven. Completely forgiven. Miraculously, spiritually forgiven for real. It's a real deal. He did it. He bought it, paid for it, died, got rid of it, rose again, and now we walk with him. Last verses I want to read to you. They're a little technical. I don't apologize because it's the Word of God. I know y'all can listen. Listen close. Because in this passage I'm about to read is an offer for eternal life. An offer for a free gift, and it lasts forever. And I know that there are some folks here, and I know there's some folks outside of here, who struggle with, if God forgives me, is it forever? If God does this work in my life, is it something that he continues, or is it something that now I have to keep? Is it something I have to maintain? Does he just put it in my account and say, I've given you this gift? Or does he say, I've given this to you, but you've got to make it work from now on. You've got to work it. I want you to hear this, and I want you to be asking yourself, have I received this gift? Do I need to receive this gift? If I have received this gift, have I just been rejoicing in the fact that it's eternal? Listen to this. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Let me just pause. This is speaking about how sin entered the world through the bad choices of our earliest ancestry through Adam and Eve. And by the way, that's a common ancestry for all people. That's why racism is so stupid. We come from the same place. Anyways, I just wanted to put that plug in there. Bottom line is, it says, look, sin entered the world right here in this beginning, and it got passed on to all of us. It wasn't something you had to do. You didn't earn your sinner status. You were born with it. All right, you're a part of the club. As soon as you cracked open, you're like, hey, it's like, boop. That as soon as your mom and dad, I can't explain that any further, but just saying this, that you got passed on, something got passed on to you from your earliest stages of life and development. Y'all with me on that? Thank you. Thank you for laughing as soon as I was getting uncomfortable. You're part of the club from conception. It just happens that way. That's how it's transferred. But now it's going to shift gears here in verse 15. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came through the one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as though one man's offense through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I know that was technical, but if you were listening, it's so good. It's so good. He says this. What happened to us way back, the sin we inherited, the sins that we've done, he said, man, those things bring on death. But God made it to where what Christ has done can be applied to each and every one of us as a gift. It can be applied to everyone who believes. Through faith, grace can be applied to you, and it's a life-giving gift. And in the last verse, verse 21, it says, death reigned, sin reigned through death. But even so, grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I just want to tell you, when God forgives you, for real, it's forever. Y'all catch me on that? When God forgives you for real, it is forever. It's not something you and I maintain in our righteousness or our holier-than-thou-ness. It's something that God has done, and He gives it as a gift. What remains is, have you received the gift? I'm going to tell you something. That gift, when I received it, it changed my life. If you're here today and you say, I want to receive that gift, we just want to say, receive it, because it's from Him, it's for real, and it's forever. It's just how He does things. Amen? This is the gospel upon which Christ Community Church is built and will continue to be built for the years to come. Not on programs, not on people, not on money, not on denominations, but on the gospel that says, when you are forgiven for real, it's forever. Amen? All right, you're going to have an opportunity now to receive that. If you would, close your eyes, bow your head, and we're just going to have a moment. I remember sitting in a service in Detroit, Michigan, Lincoln Park, Michigan. And the pastor says, if you want what God offers, just say, yes, I want that. And I just want to give you that opportunity, because I believe God's listening. And if you want the free gift that comes through Christ of forgiveness that lasts forever, if you want that, wouldn't you just right now say, yes, I want that. You go ahead and tell God now. If you need help in praying, you want somebody to pray, or you want to come up here and pray, this song is your time. We're not going to let it, they're going to go through it, and that'll be it. But if you want that gift, or if you want to say, I haven't been living up to that gift and I need to. Man, I haven't been living free and happy and forgiven. I've been dragging the sin that Christ nailed to the cross, that God cast into the sea, that He put behind His back, that He removed as far as the east is from the west. I keep digging that stuff up, carrying it around, smelling it, rubbing it on me, and living in it. And if you're done with that, would you just say, Lord, take it from me. I give it to You again. Whatever you need to do, this is your time. Father, be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.
before the morning. Oh, sinner, be still. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. So wonderful, you're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. Come as you are. Come as you are. Come as you are.
I'm going to ask the ushers if they'll come forward for the morning offering. Just a reminder, God's invitation, if your heart's beating and your brain's waving, God has something for you. Something sneaky is happening right here, and I'm not even sure what it is.
You know, it's all about making memories, and we have got a memory here for you.
I'm sorry, Miss Bonnie, I'm never... Oh, my goodness.
Now, you'll have to tell everybody about these memories.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't even notice those shirts were gone. Look at that. Oh, that's awesome. Okay, all right. Hold on. I'm sorry now. This shirt here says, "Triumphant is the Lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world." I wore that when my children were born, all of them. And what a good day. They weren't all born in one day, but I mean, what good days. And anyway.
A lot of these shirts belong to other people out here that provided.
Not that one. That's one of mine. Chubby Karaoke King, that's mine too. I won a karaoke contest. Where's the band? I won a karaoke contest. I was the only one that entered. Thank you all so much. Thank you all. Let me pray for the offering, and now hug these ladies. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this opportunity to just to worship you through tithes and offerings. And Lord, we do love you. We thank you for your extravagant gifts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. that was just cool. About made me cry. I think that's what they were trying to do, trying to make me cry. It's like Sarah making me watch those Christmas special movies. I think she just wants to see me cry. She don't even watch them. She just watches me like, are you crying? Like, just winter allergies. We're going to have a eating fellowship. While we're eating, we've compiled a DVD. Over the years, different pictures, different times, different videos, different things. And that's going to be playing. We invite you to fellowship with us if you can. We're going to have some gentlemen are going to help us set up the tables after I pray and do this. Just set them up right here in this aisle where everybody's sitting. Don't run anybody over. But I just want to tell you, thanks for being here. I love y'all. And yes, ma'am.
And people who didn't bring anything, they're still welcome to eat. God's
plenty. We have plenty. Everybody's welcome. That's kind of our thing here, if you didn't know. Everyone's welcome. So you eat. And hang out with us, okay? And anyways, it's going to be a good day. I'm going to close us in prayer. I'm going to pray for the food. If you run out there, somebody out there will line you up or help you out or hit you with a spoon, whatever you need, okay, to help you get to the food. And then we'll bring it back here. We're going to eat in here if we can get some guys help set up the tables. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for just a wonderful day, wonderful weekend. Thank you for your faithfulness to Christ Community Church, to the body of Christ. Just thank you for who you are. Thank you for the forgiveness that you offer us so, just so certainly, so substantially and forever. Lord, you're awesome. Lord, thank you for the food we're going to receive, the fellowship we're going to enjoy, those who prepared it. We give you all the praise. We do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thanks for letting me be your pastor, and I love you, and Miss Suzanne wants to know something. What?
We're going in at the front door of the kitchen, and you'll go around the island, and you'll see the Christmas tree, and you'll see the have fun.
Okay, go in the front door. Get some food.